I got the thing this week. Don't leave home without it. How many have their Bible today? Woohoo! That's cool. Again, don't leave home without it. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for this day that we get to worship you, sing our praises to you, to pray to you, and learn more about you. So I pray that you would prepare us now to learn more about you. You give us understanding, so that we would understand your word and have a desire to take it from this place and put it into practice. For I'm giving you the praise for the things you're going to do in each one of us. And I pray that what is done in us makes a difference in your kingdom. So we give you the praise in advance for what you're going to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know, I guess you know by now I ask a lot of questions. I think I said a couple weeks ago, he's a teacher nobody likes. He asks hard questions. So this is a hard question. Who are you? A daughter of the King. That is a phenomenal response. Because I was so expecting pastor, laborer, carpenter, plumber. That's what we do. That's not who we are. So who are you? Do people see who you are? We are God's children. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because if you're in Christ, at some point in your life, you have made a conscious decision to follow Him. You have asked Him to be your Savior and Lord. There are so many people walking around saying, Jesus is my Savior. So they have the fire insurance. They get all the benefits of God, but is He Lord? That's where you start taking action and allowing Him to do the work in you and through you. Taking this action, the Bible is clear about who you are. You're a chosen child of God. Now, I'll give you 15 minutes to chew on that thought. We are children of God. How does this happen? We are made children of God through the working of the Holy Spirit and having a personal, intimate relationship with Him. And knowing that we are brought into a right standing with God. And we understand that Jesus has paid the price to restore us to our Heavenly Father. Do you pray to your Heavenly Father? Do you love your Heavenly Father? Do you worship your Heavenly Father? Because that's what the child of God does. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. 14 through 18. He says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received, past tense, brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That means people can see it. Do people see Jesus in you? Do you see Jesus in me? 1 John 3:1-2 says, how great the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. My Bible has an explanation point after that. Both those statements. that we should be called children of God, exclamation point. That is what we are, exclamation point. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe it's true? Do you believe what you read? Do you apply it to your life? Child of God. We try to. I love that response. We will have a difficult time knowing who we are if we don't first realize who we were. The truth is, before we are saved by Jesus, we're all sinners. That's the way it works. All of us are sinners. We're born into an imperfect world. It's damaged by sin. That's the truth. Genesis, that's the first book of the Bible, in chapter 3, describes Adam and Eve's, listen, choice to sin. Adam and Eve's disobedience, because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, sin has been passed on to every one of us. All of humanity. I'm not making this up. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. We talked last week, everyone, everything means everything. Everyone means everyone. Romans, back in chapter 3, at verse 23, says, we all sin. We all fall short. That's God's word. Just as we inherit physical characteristics from our father, from our parents, we inherit our sinful nature from Adam. That's the truth. Each of us has the image or the likeness of Adam. When Adam fell into sin, the result was every one of us, every one of his descendants took on the nature. We're infected by sin. We're terminal. That includes all of us. Even if we live the best possible life, we in our natural human state are still sinners because of the result of this inherent sin. Romans 5:12 tells us sin entered the world through Adam. Death follows sin. Death causes all, comes to all people, and people sin because of this inherited sin. We don't go out of our way to sin. It comes naturally. Thankfully, God has provided Jesus Christ to be the perfect, sinless Savior, to wash away our sin. This is something we can't do on our own. We need a Savior. So we get the fire insurance. But we have to go a step farther. We need to allow Him to lord over our life. That's where the change comes. And that's where our actions get put into practice. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, His unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We get it. God, in His infinite wisdom, has provided a remedy for the sin we inherit. And that remedy is available to everyone who believes in this truth and trusts God and His faithfulness, His promises. And we, child of God, stand firm. Yes, sometimes we need to be reminded of the truth of who we are. A chosen child of God. Exclamation point. Hold on to this truth. When you come to Christ, you are saved. You're forgiven. You're assured a seat in heaven. And with that said, we need to be reminded we're still a work in progress. You and I are not perfect yet. But here's good news. When God looks at you and me, He sees His Son's perfection. We are made perfect through Him. While we're still in this world, There will be times, oh good, she's not looking. There will be times when we behave like sinners. Would you agree we have no problem being nice when things are going our way? But if you're like me, sometimes something or someone creates conflict with what we want, and we can very quickly become not nice. I notice all the heads bobbling. Yeah, I think that's true. I'll go with that. Yep. Mm-hmm. See, this happened to me just last week on the way to church. On the way to church, when you're supposed to be preparing to worship Jesus, preparing your heart and mind to give praise to God. Man, I was derailed. Completely derailed. Not all at once. It was a progression. Our route to church was shut down to give right to runners participating in, of all things, a Halloween-a-thon. A 5K run. The first intersection we came to was slowed because of the confusion of the cars in front of us, not knowing what to do with random runners by. The next intersection we came to was stopped by an officer of the law who, in my opinion, was not acquainted with the law, yield to pedestrians in crosswalk. They weren't yielding to that. They were making vehicle traffic stop for a mile-long line of runners with gaps in them that would allow three cars to pass safely through the intersection with bringing no harm to the runners at all. And with that, I turned off the car. I sat quietly in disbelief. Finally, after much time, we were waved through the intersection, only to come to the next intersection that was barricaded off, making us turn right. And everybody operating in their right sense of mind went to the first intersection and made a left, only to come to a police car that's parked perpendicular to the intersection, making us turn around. And at this point, I was ballistic. There was no way I was representing Christ's likeness in any way, shape, or form. When we get angry with somebody, or say or even think a negative about something or someone, we are being ungodly. We actually choose to sin. And as much as we try not to, we all stumble. We're not perfect yet. What blows my mind is that God still loves us. He still cares for us and provides for us and forgives us. Oh, how great the Father's love, that He should call us children of God. We're all sinful by nature. But today, I want to remind you that Jesus' death and resurrection has broken sin's hold on us. Amen. We are children of the living God because of the power of the cross. There are several verses. This is where you want to get your handbook, the Bible, in Colossians chapter 2 and chapter 3. I want you to focus on. In Colossians chapter 2, so that's the little acronym, God Eats Popcorn 2. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then you get to the T section. Longest to shortest, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. I mean, I'm giving good information here now, so you're all at Colossians, right? God eats pop, Philippians, corn, Colossians, chapter 2. Look at verses 13 and 14. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, so there may be a little conflict here. This is what it says. You were dead. Maybe I should say that again. You were dead because of your sin and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all your sins. He cleansed the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Now turn to chapter 3, to verses 8 through 10. And we'll see the action we must take. This is the action we must take to break the power of sin's hold on our lives. This is the action. Verses 8 through 10 in chapter 3. You must also, that's the action, rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. So I like to do cross-referencing, to read different translations of the Bible. And I pulled up one by accident. This is the Living Bible translation, which reads this way, for the same verse, Colossians 3, 8 through 10. Now is the time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger, hatred, cursing, and dirty language. Verse 9. Don't tell lies to each other. It was your old life with all its wickedness that did that sort of thing. Now it's dead and gone. Oh, I love verse 10. You are living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more of what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within you. We don't do the work. We allow Christ to do the work through us. So if we know who we are in Christ, a chosen child of God, then we also have to ask, are we clothed the right way, spiritually speaking? Last week, I was not. I knew it, and it affected me, and it affected those around me. It's so easy to fall into the wrong patterns of behavior, but thankfully, God has given us the handbook, the instruction book, to keep our focus on Him. Can I encourage you just once more to read the book? Pick it up. Treasure it. Don't put it on a shelf and carry it one day a week. Use it every day. God calls us, spiritually speaking, to clothe ourselves differently. So track down to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. As God's chosen people, what kind of people? Holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another's burdens, and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. I showed none of those last week whilst I sat behind the wheel of the car. And I asked forgiveness just about right here. And I believe it affected my delivery last week also. Because I'm preaching one thing and I knew I just lived another way. There is a battle raging. Some see, some don't. I try not to give credit to the little guy. They call him Satan. He ain't all that. His God is so much bigger. Because God has chosen us to be holy people. He loves. We must yield. That's our action. And clothe ourselves with characteristics of Christ, which are compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We looked at those earlier this year, yes? Yeah, characteristics of Christ. As chosen children of God, God calls us to be compassionate in the same way He has compassion on us, showering us with His mercy. That's Him holding back what we deserve. Mercy. We're forgiven. And we are to forgive anyone who offends us, remembering that Christ forgave us first. If you were to examine yourself honestly, spiritually speaking, are you clothed the way God wants you to be? Are you quick to do you throw your hands up all the time when you drive? I'm just saying. Or are you slow to anger, quick to listen, slow to speak? And you go down to verse 14 in Colossians. It says, over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. God is speaking to us through the Apostle Paul. He wrote it. God spoke it. Now we need to pick it up and put it into practice. Paul is telling us what the chosen child of God should and should not wear. What he's saying through these verses is what the follower of Christ shows on the outside is a pretty good indicator of what's going on the inside. You know, 1 Samuel 17-ish says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Now, I can be all flowery. I can hide all my dents and bruises, but God sees the heart. It's fall. And it's a perfect time to go through your spiritual closets and throw away the things that don't reflect that you're following Christ, and to replace them with the characteristics that show we're chosen children of God. I love the change of season. I don't like change because it's uncomfortable. It can be a little bumpy. But I have learned at my young age that really great things come after a little bumpy inconvenience. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. His sacrifice is what has set us free from the penalty of sin. His death and has brought us life. His resurrection is the assurance of our life. And because of these things, people should see that He has made or is making a difference in our life. So many Christians are working their way through this life carrying guilt they have no right to hold on to. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He sees you as forgiven. It doesn't hold your past sins against you. The Bible is clear on this point. God sees you as perfect. Why? How? Because the death of His Son has cleansed us from our sin. Acts 10:43 says, all the prophets testify about Him that everyone who believes in Him receives the forgiveness of sins. That's the truth of God's Word. Don't leave it on the table another day. You don't have to worry about being holy enough because Jesus was perfectly holy when He went to the cross on your behalf. God sees you as forgiven. Your job is to reflect. No. Your job is to redirect your focus from the things of this world to the power of the cross. Since the beginning of the year, the sermons you have been exposed to have been encouraging you to seek God, to love God, to know God, to share Him, to serve Him. I've challenged you to center your life on the cross and the power it holds for the follower of Christ. And recently, to have a kingdom focus, to stand firm with what God's Word has to say to His chosen children. Have you discovered it's time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger, hatred, cursing, and dirty language? Are you living a life that is continually learning more of what it is to do right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ who created this new life in you? So, do you know who you are? And then, do others know whose you are? Because next week we're going to look at the action that we need to take to begin this process. Plan to be here, bring two friends. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the rain. And I pray that you would rain down us favor. That you would pick us up and brush us off and let us hear the words, "My child, begin again." Let's know that we fall short and you still love us. God, I pray that you would instill in us a desire to take the actions we need to take daily, moment by moment, to stay close to you. We thank you for your love, for your grace, and your mercy, and all that your Son Jesus has done to give us life. Pray that we would leave this place walking in the newness of life that you provide. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.